Mike Golic Jr. joining us here from ESPN. Gojo, thank you for giving us a few minutes of your time, man. We appreciate it. How are you this good morning, sir?
Doing very well, thanks. How are you guys doing?
So I heard you guys talking about it this morning, and I just played the audio, the Mike Tomlin, you know, non-answer. Have we reached an age where just like we obviously love coaches when they're honest, and then we hate them when they're honest? Have we reached an age where you just have to, like, everything's a must-lie situation for an NFL head coach?
I think more often than not, especially when it comes to the sensitivity of other coaches' careers. I think that's one area that coaches are always, even in this age of honesty, going to be hypersensitive about, just because they've all been there. Every coach who's been around the profession long enough has been let go and had to deal with the strain that comes on that for everyone involved. Are the Steelers probably going to go through some changes this offseason? Absolutely. But I think Mike Tomlin wanted to provide that time, sensitivity, and even privacy to something that, again, they all know a little too well to be as upfront about as we might want at certain times.
A change with Todd Haley, though, is something that's been talked about for years, a possible rift between him and the quarterback there, Ben Roethlisberger. So none of this, while it's a talking point in Pittsburgh, none of this is a surprise at this point, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, I remember I was in training camp with them in 2013, and that was going into that second season with Todd, where you had already heard all of these rumors of strife and a rift. And listen, it never really manifested itself in any meaningful way that I saw going through the offseason and the preseason there, but it's an easy place. We know this is kind of how it works when you start to see the tremors in any sort of coaching staff. The coordinators are usually always an easy spot to go. And for Todd Haley, whose contract is up, in a place like Pittsburgh that prizes continuity with their coaches, especially at that head coach spot, you know, Trey Wingo read the stat this morning on Golic and Wingo. There have been more Pokes than Steelers coaches since the 1960s. So it has been a place that is usually slow to change, and I don't think is going to seek that change from Mike Tomlin. I think, especially offensively, this is going to be a place that, despite everything they've accomplished, despite even the amount of points they were able to put up on one of the league's top defenses in their loss, is still judged on a different curve, because you've got arguably the two best at their position, a running back and quarterback, on your roster for the time being, and this team has fallen short year after year of their standard, which is Super Bowl or bust.
Now, John Robinson has talked about the development of players. We all read that into Marcus Mariota when he's finding his next head coach. So people automatically assume it's going to be an offensive guy. But I point to the Steelers and Mike Tomlin, who is a defensive guy and has still had his offense flourish under him. So that's why that may not be an automatic. One does not necessarily mean the other can't be good.
No, it doesn't. And I think with head coaches, we always make this, I don't want to call it a mistake, but there's a difference between what's expected of you as a head coach and what can actually allow particular units to flourish. And it's still about the people that you put in place. So much of head coaching is about being able to delegate and being able to be a top-end leader. We think that just because you take a guy who's a gifted offensive coordinator or has the ear of quarterbacks and is able to develop them, that putting him in a head coaching position automatically means a net gain for that position room. There's a lot of other things the head coach has to worry about, and it still becomes, all right, maybe he's the one calling plays, but there's still not as much time you can spend day-to-day on the focus of game planning as there is when you are a coordinator. So it's about the importance of who you put in place in those positions, and that's always been something. Mike Tomlin is a great leader in the sense that he finds people that he believes can do the job and puts them in a position and empowers them to succeed in those roles. And I think that's what's going to be most important, is finding someone who's willing to put together a whole staff, not just someone who you can say, well, plays nice with quarterbacks, let's sign him up.
Mike Golic Jr. joining us here. And I think one of the things that is very divisive when we discuss the Tennessee Titans job opening amongst national experts and even local experts is, how good really is this roster? There's some people believe that it's really good and set up for success, and some people believe there's lots of upgrading that needs to happen. Where do you fall on that spectrum? How good is this Tennessee Titans roster, and how good can they be moving forward with the new coach?
Well, I look at it relative to some of the other jobs that we've seen open up. And when you look at certain rosters around the league that are open, and I know a lot of it's been made because of some of the other coaching positions opened up, but when you look at Tennessee relative to, let's say, Arizona or Detroit or Indianapolis, I think it's right up there with you know, with Detroit, in the fact that you've got certainty at least at the quarterback position for right now, and you've got enough talent in other places. I mean, what's been in vogue in the league is investing in the offensive line, and Tennessee's done a really good job of that. And I mean, with the coaches that they've had between the head coaching spot and then having Russ Grimm, one of the all-time greats, as the line coach, I think you've done a good job of developing and trying to make that an area of strength. You've been able to get pressure on defense with the front four. That was one of the reasons that people tried to give Tennessee a chance against New England, because of that ability to potentially harass Tom Brady. So I think there are areas where you're close. I think they've tried to upgrade talent. Listen, there's no question. You've got talented backs. You've got a talented line. You tried to bring, you know, draft Corey Davis and improve some of that receiver room. There is definitely talent on this roster to be had. And I think that was ultimately the frustration with Mike Mularkey, is that it just didn't feel like you were maximizing what was already a lot of strength in certain areas.
Real quickly, the question that's going to be thrown around here, what does Marcus Mariota need? In your eyes, what does he need?
Marcus Mariota, a healthy offseason. I mean, we saw what a difference it was this year for a guy who had to deal with it. And that's always the one thing you can't stress enough with guys, especially when you get injured late in the year, is it so drastically affects where you're preparing, because you're just trying to get back to base level. Your goal is to go in every day and attack your rehab like it's the only thing in the world. And it can be lonely. Sometimes it leaves you separate from the team in a lot of avenues. And so that can stunt growth for a young quarterback who's looking to make leaps and bounds. So I think whoever comes in, it's getting in with Marcus right away, giving him a chance to fully engross himself in whatever the terminology is going into the offseason, the offensive philosophy, and then just continuing to not only maximize those things structurally, but find a coach that's willing to work with what Marcus does well. And he does so many things well. We saw that show up late in the season, after a lackluster year, is the intangibles and the natural ability that Marcus brings, especially when he's improvising, shining brightly. So you've got to continue to find a guy that's going to put him in positions to succeed the way he's already shown you he can.
Gojo, always a pleasure, man. Love talking with you. Thanks for giving us a few minutes of your time, bud.
No problem. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Mike Golic Jr. there from ESPN. When we come back, Corey Curtis, Braden Gall here, I'd like to dive into some of these candidates. We'll get to the new, fresh names a little bit later on, but when we come back, head coaching experience. How important is it, and are there names on this list that intrigue you, and should the Titans and JR go this direction? We'll do that when we come back right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.